My name is Tian Parker Dominguez. I'm the co-chair of the Improving Pregnancy Outcomes Committee of the Maternal and Child Health Section, and I'd like to welcome you to one of our oral sessions this morning, Improving Pregnancy Outcomes, Integrating Systems-Related Change. I'd also like to recognize my other co-chair, Janine Lewis. Raise your hand, Janine. In the back, she's going to be assisting for a little bit during the session. She has already started a sign-in sheet that should be going around. We like to get a sense of who's attended the sessions. And if you are interested, also we'd like to know if you're a member of the Maternal and Child Health Section already. If you're not, we want to make sure that you know that you can add us for free as a second membership if you're interested. We are a very welcoming, excited, and active section. So if you have any questions about our committee, Improving Pregnancy Outcomes, or about the section in general, you're welcome to come up and ask us about that after the session. Also, please indicate if you're interested at all in reviewing abstracts for our section. We get a large number of them each year, and we're always grateful for the assistance. So if you're interested in that, please make sure that you make some notation next to your name so we can make sure we get you on the millionth listserv that you're likely to be on. Okay? All right, so a few housekeeping things. Number one, I have nothing personally to disclose, and each of the speakers will also speak to that when they come to the podium for their presentations. Let's see, if you have any questions during the course of the presentations, I ask that you jot those down for yourselves because we'd like to leave those all to the end. We have set aside 25 minutes in the session at the end for questions, so we'd like to give the presenters adequate time to get through their presentations and then open it up for discussion at the end. All right? Okay, if we have no other things that we need to address, everybody's got a seat back there. Okay, we're going to go ahead and get started. Our first presenter this morning is Dr. Whitney P. Witt. Dr. Witt is an associate professor in the departments of Population Health Sciences, Obstetrics and Gynecology, and Pediatrics. She is co-director of the Center for Women's Health and Health Equity Research, co-director of BioPOP, which is Integrative Biopsychosocial Research in Population Health, and the principal investigator of the Life Course Epidemiology and Family Health Lab at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Dr. Witt will be presenting this morning on a life course approach to understanding birth delivery methods in the U.S., importance of preconception and pregnancy-related determinants. Dr. Witt.
Good morning. Thank you for your attention. Can everyone hear me? Okay, good. So I'm very pleased to deliver this presentation to you this morning, no pun intended. I have no conflicts of interest to disclose or any financial relationships to disclose. I would like to acknowledge the generous funding from the Health Resources and Services Administration, the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, and the Wisconsin Health Disparities Research Scholars Program. This is a bit of an outline or roadmap for what I'll be talking about this morning. I'm going to first give you some background and talk about the objective of our study, followed by the methods and results, and then discuss some of the strengths and potential limitations of our study, and then follow up with some conclusions and implications. So we know that the prevalence of cesarean section deliveries among women in the United States has dramatically risen over the last decade. And surgery is often not medically necessary and poses serious short-term and long-term risks to both the baby and the mother. Furthermore, in the United States, C-sections cost considerably more than vaginal births. $12,500 versus around $9,000 respectively. And they're also associated with increased levels of healthcare utilization in the postpartum period. So we see a lot of postpartum medical care utilization and often some rehospitalization. This slide shows the data on the total number of cesarean deliveries in the United States from 2000 to 2010. And as you can see, the prevalence of cesarean section among women in the United States has dramatically risen from nearly 23% in 2000 to an unprecedented level of nearly 33% in 2010. Despite the significant health risks and costs associated with C-section deliveries, the risk factors leading to C-sections versus vaginal delivery, particularly medically indicated compared with non-medically indicated C-sections, is really not well understood. Therefore, this study sought to determine the factors contributing to delivery methods in the United States by identifying both preconception and pregnancy-related determinants of medically indicated and non-medically indicated cesarean section using a nationally representative population-based cohort. This study takes a life course approach to understanding the factors contributing to vaginal and medically indicated and non-medically indicated cesarean section deliveries in the United States. And a life course model posits that perinatal health and health outcomes are influenced by cumulative effects of events across the life course, as well as intergenerational effects. And preconception health has become increasingly important for both researchers and practitioners alike. So in terms of the methods we used in this study, the data for the study were from the first wave of the early childhood longitudinal survey birth cohort, a nationally representative sample of children born in 2001 and their families. Surveys for the first wave were conducted when the children were approximately 9 months old. Data were also collected from the child's birth certificate, and we ended up with a sample of approximately 9,350 mother-child dyads for this study. The dependent variable in this study was was delivery method. Data from the birth certificate was used to determine if the method of delivery involved C-section or vaginal birth. Women who delivered via C-section were further classified into two mutually exclusive categories: medically indicated C-section and non-medically indicated C-section. Women who delivered via C-section and also had any labor complications or delivered a preterm baby less than 37 weeks were classified as having an indicated C-section. Women who delivered a term baby greater than or equal to 37 weeks gestation via C-section without any labor complications were classified as having a non-indicated C-section. Because we took a life course approach in the study, we examined factors that occurred in the preconception and pregnancy periods that might influence delivery method. One of the things we were of particular interest to us was looking at stressful life events in the preconception period and in the pregnancy period, and this was defined as the death of the respondent's mother, father, spouse, or previously live-born child, experiencing a divorce, separation from spouse or partner, or fertility problems. The definition was similar for stressful life events during pregnancy. It included the death of the respondent's mother, father, or spouse, divorce, and separation from spouse or partner. We also were interested in examining a number of other covariates, including health and obstetric factors and sociodemographic factors. We were interested in prior cesarean section because that has been shown to be an important determinant of future cesarean section delivery. We were also interested in looking at the effect of pregnancy complications, chronic health conditions, pre-pregnancy BMI, the initiation of prenatal care, whether or not labor was induced or stimulated, infant plurality status and parity. We are also interested in a number of sociodemographic factors, including the age at delivery, race and ethnicity, marital status at delivery, health insurance status, socioeconomic status, the region of the United States, and urbanicity. So analyses were conducted using survey procedures from SAS version 9.2, Data were weighted to reflect the complex sampling design. Summary statistics were generated to describe the sample characteristics. Chi-square tests were used to determine significant differences in stress, obstetric, and maternal sociodemographic characteristics by delivery method. Multinomial logistic regression models were used to examine the impact of exposure to stress, obstetric, and maternal and sociodemographic factors on delivery method. So in terms of our results, 74% of women had a vaginal birth in 2001, 11.6 had a non-indicated C-section, and 14.2 had an indicated C-section. Women who delivered via indicated or non-indicated C-section were more likely to have experienced any preconception stressful life event than women who delivered vaginally, 25%, 26.1%, and 17.7%, respectively. However, there were no differences in stressful life events during pregnancy by delivery method. Compared with women who delivered vaginally, women who had a non-indicated C-section were more likely to have had a prior C-section, one or more prior live births, VOBs during pregnancy, or age 35 or older. Women whose C-sections were indicated were more likely to have any pregnancy complication, any chronic condition, give birth to multiples, have had no prior live births, and were the least likely to live in the West compared to their counterparts who delivered vaginally. These are our multivariable results, our adjusted analyses. And you can see here that women had significantly higher odds of delivering via non-indicated C-section if they had a prior C-section. You can see that right here. Were obese prior to pregnancy or delivered multiples or were age 20 or older. Women had significantly higher odds of delivering via indicated C-section than delivering vaginally if they experienced any preconception stressful life event. Experienced any pregnancy complication, had a chronic condition, had a prior C-section, and that's this here, were obese prior to pregnancy, delivered multiples, were aged 25 years or older, or living in the South. The adjusted odds of delivering via non-indicated and indicated C-section were significantly lower when labor was induced or stimulated, and for women with one or more prior live births. Stressful life events during pregnancy, the timing of the initiation of prenatal care, health insurance during pregnancy, maternal race and ethnicity, marital status, socioeconomic status, and urbanicity were not associated with delivery method, adjusting for all other factors. So in summary, we found that prior C-section delivery was the strongest predictor for both indicated and non-indicated C-section deliveries. Preconception stressful life events contributed to the risk for indicated C-section delivery and presents an opportunity for public health and clinical interventions. I want to note some of the study's strengths and weaknesses. This is really the first population-based study to take a life course perspective to trying to understand the determinants of C-section deliveries. And we use a nationally representative sample. However, there are some potential limitations that should be noted. First, children who died before 9 months of age were not included in the sampling frame of the ECLSB. Second, the data for were from the first wave of the ECLSB, which were collected approximately at 9 months postpartum, and maybe some of our variables may be subject to recall bias. Third, data were collected from the birth certificate and may under or incorrectly report some information, including labor complications, leading to misclassification of some of our variables. And then finally, although consistent with a life course perspective, the null relationship for C-section and stressful life events during pregnancy may have been due to the limited number of stressful life events we were able to evaluate and their low incidence given the short time frame during pregnancy. So, conclusions and implications. In conclusion, we identified that PSLEs actually do contribute to the risk of indicated C-sections and may present a unique opportunity for intervention. Prior C-section delivery was the strongest predictor of both indicated and non-indicated C-sections. And I want to just take a moment and talk about what might be the reason behind preconception stressful life events being related to delivery to indicated C-sections. It could be that the experience of a major life event may increase a woman's biological vulnerability to negative obstetric outcomes, which may in turn contribute to indications for medically necessary C-sections. And there's actually research to support this. Surgical deliveries continue to occur at a very high rate in the U.S. despite compelling evidence that they increase the risk for morbidity and mortality among women and their children. Studies show that after C-section delivery or vaginal birth after C-section delivery or VBAC is safe, yet VBACs are not offered at many hospitals. And non-indicated C-sections are not medically necessary. I want to note that the American College of OBGYN recently came out with recommendations in April of 2013 to say that in the absence of maternal or fetal indications for cesarean delivery, vaginal delivery should be recommended. And finally, healthcare providers should address the risk factors for all C-sections to optimize low-risk delivery methods and improve the survival, long-term health, and well-being of children and their mothers. Thank you. And I want to acknowledge the many wonderful contributors to this work, namely Drs. Wisk and Chang, Kara Mandel, Deb Chatterjee, Drs. Wakil and Godecker. Thank you very much. Thank you.